now something special as well. Joining us in studio, you know her work from her syndicated column that appears in the Bangor Daily News and all over the country. She's the author of several books, including Dinner with the Smileys and her brand new one available soon, including a big old opportunity to see and hear Sarah and Friends tomorrow. It's called Got Here As Soon As I Could. Sarah Smiley joining us in studio. Welcome.
I got here as soon as I could.
Appreciate that. Thanks for coming in. How do you like our digs here?
I love it. I wish I had told the kids to come have dinner and watch me. They could have made faces.
Absolutely. It's what people do to us on a regular basis.
Yeah.
We try to
tune
like them
up. You're like in a zoo right here.
Yeah, it's our little aquarium. Please don't feed the radio guys. So let's talk first of all about the event that's coming up tomorrow. You've got a book signing. How about some of the particulars for that for folks who might like to go?
It will be at the Bangor Historical Society. The Briar Patch will be there selling books. And we're going to have wine and cupcakes. And the kids will be there. And Dustin will be there if you would want them to sign their book too. And Rick Tyler actually is going to come and do a dramatic reading of some of the columns.
I heard that. And our friend Danny Cashman, too?
Maybe, yep. And I'd asked you, but you had some scheduling conflicts.
Yeah. I've got to be home actually reading to my little guy and checking him in.
It's kind of weird to read your own stuff, to stand up, and, you know, it just feels a little awkward. And so I decided, well, it'd be funny to have other people read it.
Well, it's fantastic. Well, now, the book itself, I got here as soon as I could. It's about what led you to making Bangor, Maine your home. And this was not the plan. But as a military spouse, that's the way it works sometimes. And at first, it was the government telling you to come here. But then then the family decided this is not such a bad place to be.
Yeah, we were up for a new transfer. My husband's a Navy pilot. And everybody always says, how did he end up in Bangor, Maine? Well, he was the active duty officer in charge of the reservist in the state of Maine. And there were about 13 options of different places we could go all around the country. And my husband and I, the Navy said, pick your top six of where you would like to go. And that's always a joke, you know. I mean, they're not really going to send you where you say you want to go. But my husband and I fought over this list, kind of like choosing a baby name. We each had veto power over different places. And he came home one day in February. I was barefoot washing the car because I lived in Pensacola, Florida, and you can do that. And he came home and he said, the military added Bangor, Maine as an option. And he thought that was really funny because his dad is from Bangor and his grandfather was an orphan here. So we are related to the Smileys that had the dress shop.
Okay.
Yeah. So Dustin said, you know, it's kind of nostalgic. And I said, yeah, that's neat, but we're not putting it on our list. And he said, oh, I actually did, and I turned it in today. And it was really ugly, but he was following me around the house saying, Sarah, they won't send me. I put it 7 on a list of 6. I just did it for fun. And then April Fool's Day, he came home, and he said, I think you need to sit down. The Navy's sending us to Bangor, Maine. So I said I would come up here. I would spend 2 years. That's it. Not a day more. We were going to be out of here. And I said, because I wanted to live in a practical small house, no need in getting a big house or anything. You know, we're just going to make do for 2 years. And got up here, and about 4 weeks later, I fell in love with it. And I told my husband, if you take me out of Maine, I will spend the rest of my life trying to get here. So 8 years later, we still live in the small house.
That's awesome. Well, your last book, Dinner with the Smileys, was about your efforts to, I guess, among other things, make yourself a part of the community, but also normalize the situation for your boys with Dustin gone. And you did that by inviting an incredible collection of people to come have dinner with you.
Yes. We once a week, while my husband was deployed for a year, so once a week while he was gone, we had someone come and fill his seat at the dinner table. And some of the dinners were hysterical. We had Danny Cashman come. And my youngest, who is kind of a comedian himself, it was like a light bulb went off in his eyes. And he asked Danny at that dinner, you make a living out of making jokes? And it was like all of a sudden the world opened up to him that I can do something with this. So we had some funny dinners. We had some sentimental dinners, educational dinners. And the thought was just to keep us busy while my husband was gone. But as it grew and we met different people, the experiences and the lessons just kept compounding, and it became something else altogether.
We're talking with Sarah Smiley here on Downtown. So what was it that made this now your home? What was it about the Bangor area?
I think in Florida, I always say we lived in a 6-foot privacy fence jungle. I don't know if you've ever been to Florida, but everybody has those 6-foot fences that you can't see around or see through. And we had those. And we lived in the same neighborhood for about 5 years. Can't really say I knew my neighbors that well. And then we got here, and there's sidewalks, and the yards are open, and my neighbors knew who my kids were, and they would send them home to me. And the big thing was my son in Florida went to kindergarten, and his kindergarten class was one of 14 in the school. Not 14 kids, 14 classes. And I didn't even have the option to let him walk to school. He would have had to cross multiple multi-lane highways to get there. And we moved here, and my other son started kindergarten here. He was one of two classes, kindergarten classes. And by the end of the week, the principal knew their names, knew their favorite football team, their favorite baseball team. My family's Padres fans, by the way.
Oh, tough day yesterday. Yeah.
And I just said, you know, there is something special about this, that your kids can walk to school. And I know people who live here say, oh, but it's gotten so bad. And it's, you know, can you really let your kids walk to school? I've lived all over the country. I've never been in a place that felt so safe that I let my kids walk to school like I do here.
Now, as someone who's read your books and read your columns for years, I feel like I know the boys and know the family vicariously from reading about them. What's that been like for them to have their life often being told in the pages of mom's writing?
I think as they've gotten older, my oldest son is a writer, too. So he understands my need to tell a story. My middle son hasn't always been so accommodating. I think they've all appreciated, especially when I do a book like this, that they have a documentation of their childhood all in one place. But my middle son told me one time I wrote about frozen waffles that I counted out how many I've made in my time as a parent and how many I'm projected to make and when they leave home. And I got a lot of criticism for that. People said they couldn't believe I fed my kids frozen waffles. And I said, I cooked them first. I didn't give them to them frozen. So I wrote a column about that. And I said that my middle son would flop on the floor if he didn't get his waffles in the morning. And somebody at school called him a waffle flopper. And he came home and he said, never write about me again. And I said, okay, I won't. And so you can see that there's a span of years where I do not mention Owen. And then it was funny because my critics started saying, well, you might think she has two kids, but she actually has three. And obviously she doesn't love the other one because she never writes about him. When obviously,
wow.
You know. But when I was putting together the columns for this book, Owen said, there's not many columns about me. I said, Owen, you told me to quit writing about you. So they go back and forth. Sometimes they appreciate it and sometimes they don't.
You mentioned the criticisms, and I've seen you post about this on Facebook. Are you amazed, or have you long past being amazed, at the things that people will say, the comments that they will leave under that cloak of anonymity on the BDN website?
Yeah, I find it humorous. And I think as the years go, they get even more ridiculous. It's almost comical to go and, you know, somebody, I got a new headshot last September. And I think it was December or January, somebody kept posting saying, she's trying to look younger with that headshot. She should update her headshot. What, since from a few months ago? Like, you know, and I've had all kinds of just silly things said to me, and I find it kind of funny.
All right, as you make the journey being a mom, and of course I'm watching this looking ahead too, because I've got a two-year-old at home, so I'm using you as a guide for what the coming attractions will be. You now have a driver in the house.
Oh, geez,
what's
yes.
that like?
Well, it's nice to have a chauffeur, sort of. You know, I found that when you're the firstborn, I don't know if any of y'all are the firstborn, but you think you're getting your freedom when you get your license. What you're really getting is more work because your mom's going to send you to pick up everybody else. I'm getting my freedom with his license. But the first time he merged onto the interstate, that was terrifying. And then I had to teach him how to drive stick shift, too.
Oh.
And I didn't know how to explain it. I don't really understand the mechanics of what the clutch is. And so I just told him, here we go. Sit down. You're going to press this and move that and just kind of figure it out. And it was like a bucking Bronco. I mean, seriously, like I almost hit my head on the dashboard. The thing went so crazy. So that was an interesting experience teaching him. He's got it now.
Now, you've had some interesting opportunities, some amazing opportunities, too, to go on national television, to have a dinner at the White House and all kinds of exciting things that have happened. Are you past the point of being starstruck by any of the people that you meet? I mean, including present company, of course.
I know. I was going to say I'm starstruck right now. No, I think I'm still starstruck. Like, I felt like a kid at the state dinner. I saw Stephen Colbert was there. He was like the one person I really was hoping would be in attendance there. And as we were coming through the security checkpoint, and we're all in foreign, you know, it's a black tie affair, but you have to go past the bomb sniffing dogs first in your dress and turn around, you know, let them sniff you and the whole works. And as I was doing that, I looked down and I saw way back in the line was Stephen Colbert, and I couldn't help myself. I was waving like a kid, Stephen, me, hi. And then I was like chasing him around the White House to get a picture with him. And I'm sure people thought, "What? Why are these people on the list? Why are they here?" Because I still just get so excited.
Now, is Dustin, is there anything that Dustin's ever said? Can you just not, can you not mention that? Maybe even as it happens, does it ever cross his mind? This is going to end up in a column and then a book someday.
Yeah. Well, actually, my column that's out today is three stories about Dustin that I have always wanted to tell. And they've always been kind of in the, maybe don't share that yet. But he retires in a year, and then he'll come back home to Bangor. So he finally told me, all right, fine, you can write about those three things. One of them was that we used to have a Cinco de Mayo party in Florida every year, and we had a band led by a man named Jesus that was straight from Guadalajara, and he played for, like, dirt cheap, you know, and he would come to our party and have fun, and we'd give him beer and everything. Well, one year we couldn't find him, and we thought maybe he had been deported, and so Dustin... He ended up seeing him at Walmart, and he sent a mass email to his people at work. Remember, this is the Navy. He sent a mass email to people at work saying, we once feared that Jesus, he didn't know how to put the accent mark, so, you know, Jesus has written Jesus. We once feared that Jesus had left the country, but a late night sighting in the produce department at Walmart assures us he is alive and well, and he will come again to our party next month. And no accent mark. And Dustin's boss down the hall, his new commander, had not been to any of our Cinco de Mayo parties because he was brand new. So he called my husband down to his office and wanted to know, why the heck did you think a .mil email account was the appropriate place to share your thoughts on religion in America?
The second coming. Yeah. It's just for Cinco de Mayo. I love it. The book is called Got Here As Soon As I Could. Sarah Smiley, tomorrow night, go check it out. Bangor Historical Society. And again, what time?
5 to 7.
All right. You want to be there and see Sarah, get the book signed, and also listen to Rick Tyler make it sound